You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Waiting for next year.
Hey everybody, it's the waitingfornextyear.com podcast. I'm your host, Craig Lindell. It's been a minute. Do you remember me? We are part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. There are a lot of great podcasts on there, as well as podcasts here that are part of Waiting for Next Year, The Nail in the Coffin, The Dairy Brothers Tribe Cast, Cleveland and Beyond, Set the Edge, all the different things that Andy Billman does. Really good sports talk. So I'm here to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers and Anderson Varejao, which I never in a million years thought that I would be putting those two things together, certainly not in this way, where we're talking about Anderson Varejao actually playing basketball games for the Cleveland Cavaliers in 2021. The dude's been basically retired for 2 years now. Basically been retired. And he signs a 10-day contract at the end of a season that there's nothing at stake. The Cavaliers are not going to make the playoffs. It hasn't been a completely wasted year. We've been debating so many things about the Cavaliers, which is interesting because they are relatively irrelevant. So what is there to actually talk about with the Cavaliers? But we have been talking about them. The national media kind of glosses over them, which I don't blame them for, as a tanking team. And I take exception with that. Not that what, Zach Lowe and Bill Simmons and different people have to say about the Cavaliers matters much, because they're an irrelevant team this year, but they're not tanking. The idea that the Cavaliers were tanking, it was hard. You couldn't really argue that. They made a trade for Andre Drummond last year. They sent him home. That didn't really work out. They've got Kevin Love, and they've got all these different things, but tanking is like going into an offseason and cutting a bunch of valuable players who were the difference between winning 50 games and winning 20 games. The point is that if you're going to accuse a team of tanking, you have to be able to point at moves where they purposefully made themselves worse, or they purposefully made themselves garner more ping pong balls in the lottery. And the Cavaliers are young. They've emphasized playing some of these young up-and-coming players in hopes that they become stars, but they've not really done any one thing that makes you think, oh, they just gave away 10 wins, or they just gave away 6 wins. What is it that you would have liked the Cavs to have done differently to signal to you that they're not tanking? Like, that's really what it comes down to. What move did they leave on the table that would have made them competitive? And as long as there's no such move, it's really lazy to call it a tanking team. But now that the Cavaliers signed Anderson Varejao in what is so blatantly a minor league baseball maneuver, the guy's basically been retired for 2 years, hasn't played, and they bring him in on a 10-day contract for what? For what? For the feel-good story, the fan service? This is why teams sign guys to one-day contracts, so that they can retire in the uniform that they're most prominently known for. So Zydrunas Ilgauskas maybe comes back, signs a one-day contract so he can retire a Cavalier. He doesn't suit up for 10 games. There's a point at which you've taken something that should have been nice and you've turned it into kind of a joke. And by turning something into kind of a joke, you're making a mockery of your own team. And is it a big deal? Like, no, this team is irrelevant. And it's not a big deal, I guess. Except that what it signals, this team is irrelevant. They're not competitive right now. And it's sad, but it's hard to even figure out a path to relevancy in this day and age in the NBA, where star players go where they want, and instantaneously the Lakers go from being one of the worst teams in the league to being one of the best teams in the league. The Cavaliers go from being one of the worst teams in the league to one of the best teams in the league because of LeBron James. The Brooklyn Nets become kind of a weird, middling, up-and-coming team that didn't really have any direction to being one of the best teams in the league with one of the biggest concentrations of talent the league has ever seen. So really, what's the business plan for the Cavaliers to be back to successful? And I'm not even really sure, but I know that I want to see how they react in times like these to figure out or to hopefully see them project themselves as a serious team that knows how to handle their business when there are real stakes on the line, when they are a fringe playoff team, when they are competing in the first round of the playoffs. And you all those cliches from sports over the years, you practice how you play, you fake it till you make it, you prepare like a champion even when you're not ready to become a champion. And when I see the Cavaliers doing something so unserious and so cheesy and just generally kind of cringy as signing a classic player who hasn't played in 2 years for a quick song and a dance to end a miserable, not miserable, but end a meaningless season, it seems gimmicky. It seems cheesy. It seems unserious. It seems like a team who doesn't really respect the seriousness of what fans want and what they want to get back to. And maybe I'm putting too much into it, and I know the other side of the equation is that Cavs fans just want anything fun or interesting in an otherwise dead season. And I kind of get that, but you know, at what point does that stop? You know, how far is too far? And for me, having Anderson Varejao come back and sign a one-day contract and putting his highlights, his wonderful tribute video, putting him in some kind of ring of honor, whatever the Cavalier, you know, I don't think we want to retire Andy's number, but to give him an honorific night on his way to retirement, that's awesome. I'd love that. That's fan service. There's a level of desperation and silliness that comes with letting the dude suit up for 6 garbage minutes when the Cavaliers are down by 30, where you're making a joke out of yourselves, I think. And maybe I take this stuff too seriously. Wouldn't be the first time that somebody accused me of taking things too seriously, so if I'm guilty of that, so be it. It's just, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like the way a championship contender should handle their business. It doesn't feel like the way a future championship contender should handle their business. It doesn't feel like the way a future first round exiting playoff team should handle their business. It's just, it feels like a joke. It just feels like a joke. And I don't hate Anderson Varejao. I would love to see him retire as a Cavalier. He should retire as a Cavalier. They should put a 10-minute tribute video with all his highlights and all the Joe Tate screaming his name and all the different... that'd be great. I would love it. That's fan service. But at a certain point, the fan service goes over the top. And I think this is over the top. I think it's too much. And that's where I come out on it. I know there are a lot of you who disagree with me. Ultimately, this is the most screaming about this that I'm going to do because it doesn't actually matter. The Cavaliers don't matter. And that's part of the problem. That's part of the poking. The thing that pokes at me as part of this whole storyline is that the team doesn't matter. The team doesn't matter. The other thing, I forgot about this, and I want to make sure I bring this up. The Anderson Varejao has a relationship with the fans, and that's why the one-day contract and the retirement ceremony makes a ton of sense. he never played for JB Bickerstaff, unless my memory isn't working correctly. He never really played with any of these guys other than Kevin Love, right? He doesn't really have a connection to this version of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Colin Sexton and Darius Garland, even Larry Nance, who's been around the league a little bit longer. You know, Larry Nance is kind of like an older guy on this team. But none of these guys know Anderson Varejao. The Cavaliers can't have a full arena. So the relationship was with the fans, not really this current iteration of the team. It feels like it's being really forced. It's really forced. And I saw the quote from Varejao talking about how special it was for him to suit up with the Cavaliers in front of his daughter and all that stuff. And I mean, I get it. I understand his personal part of it. I don't know. It's just too much. Just too much. So anyway, I'm sure you'll have other reactions, but there we go. That's it. I'll be back to talk about my take on the NFL draft. Spoiler alert. I've got a bit of a contrarian take on the whole thing, even though I like it. So I'll be back with that in just a little bit.
In a world infatuated with comic fandom, comes a show to help us remember the talents that have inspired us.
Whoa, 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 cut.
Well, come on, it wasn't that bad.
It's a bit dramatic. Let's just tell them about the show, guys.
We are the Canned Air Podcast.
Join us weekly for a comedic trip through pop culture.
We also welcome some cool comic creators, as well as some of the voice and screen actors that helped shape your childhood.
Find us on cannedairpodcast.com and on the Evergreen Podcast Network.